Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Carrie Antholis, filling in for Chris Tarracone. Season 8 of Jury Duty explores the trial of Alex Murdaugh, a member of one of the most powerful families in South Carolina, who is accused of murdering his son, Paul, and his wife, Maggie, with the purpose of covering up a multitude of alleged crimes, including fraud and homicide. In our last episode, we began our presentation of the testimony of FBI electronics engineer Dwight Falkofsky. In this installment, we continue our review of Mr. Falkofsky's testimony. That's all coming up right after the break.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It is the afternoon of February 8th, 2023, day 11 of the trial of Alex Murdaugh. As we concluded our last episode, Prosecutor John Conrad was questioning FBI electronics engineer Dwight Falkofsky about infotainment USB and Bluetooth data that he extracted from Alex Murdaugh's Chevy Suburban. As we begin today, John Conrad continues his direct examination by asking the witness about other kinds of information that he extracted from the vehicle.
There's another thing, another type of data you found on this infotainment center, correct?
Yes. We additionally looked for information regarding the state of the vehicle.
Explain to the jury, what does that mean?
So what we were looking for on this car was something to show if the car was moving, if doors were opened or closed, windows up and down. We searched for this type of data on this vehicle.
Okay. And did you find some of that data?
We did. We found what we call states of the vehicle. And in this case, it was more granular things, such as, and one of the ones we're interested in looking at is the shift lever going in and out of park, kind of giving an indication.
And we'll talk more about that in a minute, but okay. Would you say that there was a lot of this vehicle status data that was stored?
Yes, this vehicle stores a voluminous amount of data and some logs.
And is the majority of it really useful when you
try to,
did you attempt to pare down the data you're looking at to find potentially useful information?
Yes, we combed through the data and we looked for data that matched our testing of a similar vehicle or identical type vehicle to be able to identify messages in this log that can be attributed to the vehicle states.
Let's talk about that. You mentioned that you said testing. What do you mean by testing? What did you guys do to test this?
We obtained a identical 2021 Suburban vehicle with the same build out.
Okay.
And we drove it multiple times and extracted data from it multiple times in a series of tests designed to try to understand what is going on inside the system.
Okay. So this is simple testing. So you go out and drive it. And you'd record, you knew when you're driving, so you could record times, correct?
Record times, locations, yes.
And then you could go back in and pull that data off the infotainment center of the test vehicle, correct?
That's correct.
And then you can compare that to the logs that you guys wrote saying we did this at this time, correct?
That's correct.
And you what could you do with that comparison? What did that help you with?
So that helped us identify in the logs laid out states. Very granular states of.
When you say granular, I apologize. I'm going to stop you, but I want to make sure we understand everything you're saying. When you say granular, what do you mean by that?
I'll explain a few of the states to give you an example.
Okay.
When the vehicle first, say you open the door and you see the screen turn on the car, that would be maybe one or two of the states that the system tells me it's waking up. A message saying it's waking up, then a message saying I'm showing my animation video on the screen as it starts to boot up, and then eventually, like if the car is being, and then other states of the car, such as the in and out of the park, they're very, a lot of the states only mean something very small in the whole scheme of how the car is operating, a very specific little pieces of data.
Okay. And there's a lot of it, correct?
There's a lot of them.
And so you had to kind of figure out a way to kind of pare that data down into something that's useful for you to interpret, correct?
That's correct. All
right. And how did you do that?
Initially, we wrote a utility into our parser that would go through, first of all, and select all the messages we found of interest that indicated some sort of state of the vehicle. And then we attempted to take that data and put meaning to it. And it was a challenging process, let's put it that way.
But ultimately, do you feel like, at least for certain types of events, you're able to draw some conclusions about what was going on with the vehicle certain times?
Certain events were much more specific about certain of the things that were going on with the car, and were clearer.
And when you were asked, the question of, can you use any of this information to determine when a vehicle could potentially be moving? Is that something that you looked for in this data?
We were looking for that data. We found something close to that data.
Okay. And in your testing and analysis, what did you determine would be the best indicator to you looking at the data of when the vehicle was moving?
The message indicating whether the car was in park or out of park.
Okay. And so you found a reliable indicator in your opinion, indicates the vehicle would likely or possibly be moving, correct?
That's correct.
All you said was this particular message says it's either in park or out of park, correct?
That's all it says.
And it doesn't necessarily say whether it's in drive, correct?
That's right. I don't know what gear it's in.
Okay. But you can tell when it's out of park.
Correct.
And can you tell from that whether the vehicle is actually physically moving?
I cannot.
I am. And at the end of this analysis, did you prepare data and a parser report to send to SLED at the end of your analysis?
Yes, I did.
Prosecutor Conrad hands Mr. Falkowski a small slip of paper.
Okay, I'm going to show you what's been marked as Exhibit 443. I'm going to see if you recognize that.
Yes, this is a copy that I validated earlier today against the original.
Okay.
Original evidence that was submitted.
So that contains the information you provided, SLED, correct?
That's correct.
And generally speaking, what is contained on this CD?
It is the our unit's derivative evidence results of what was extracted and reported for both the OnStar module and the infotainment system.
And so this provides both, we said there's voluminous raw data that came out of this vehicle, correct?
Yes.
And it includes a full copy of that, right?
There is.
But also includes a report that kind of pares that down into more useful information to you, correct?
Yes.
And what did you call that report again? Was it the HTML report?
Oh, the format was in HTML, so you could open it with a browser.
And
yes.
What tool did you use to help you prepare that condensed report?
That was the parsing tool that developed that.
And that's what you talked to about at the beginning of your testimony with the jury, and that's a way to use software to help pare down the data into something useful.
Correct.
Okay.
John Conrad brings another one-page document to Mr. Falkowski.
I'm going to show you it's been marked as Exhibit 449, and just describe what that is. Please.
Okay, this is a spreadsheet that basically shows many of the states of the vehicle that we were looking at and testing running our tests on the test vehicle. This is an analysis of the states that were on there, and this is what we were using to develop the understanding of what these states meant.
Okay. And so what would be a shorter way to describe that, a more simple way to describe it?
It's an analysis of the state machine.
Okay.
State vehicle states.
This would represent some of the research that you and your team.
That is research. Yeah, that's a research document.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Prosecutor John Conrad continues his direct examination of Mr. Falkowski by asking the witness about phone call logs extracted from the defendant's Chevy Suburban.
All right. And we talked about call logs, right? And you found some call logs, correct?
Yes.
On this vehicle. And where did those call logs come from again?
They were stored within the infotainment system.
Right. And where did the infotainment system get them?
From an attached phone.
Okay.
Conrad hands another one-page document to the witness.
And I'm going to show you what's been marked with States 446. And let me see if you recognize that document.
Yes, these were call logs that we recovered off the infotainment system.
Okay. And those are two specific calls, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And what are the date and time of those two calls?
The first one, June 7th, 2021 at 2206-14.
And what was the number dialed on that one?
9111.
Okay, three ones. Okay.
And then another one shortly thereafter at 2206-18, a couple seconds later, for just 911.
And in your research, in testing, can you determine of when these calls would have been pulled off the phone that made these calls?
No, at some point, the system would have downloaded that information from the phone. I don't know what time that occurred.
Okay.
Prosecutor Conrad brings one more document to the witness.
And I'm going to show you... And this is Exhibit 442, and I'm going to ask if you recognize this document.
Yes.
And what is that document?
I've titled this document the 2021 Chevy Suburban Log File Excerpts from June 7th, 2021.
All right. And is this a condensed version of data from that original, that CD that we showed you a minute ago?
Yes.
Okay. And... what is that condensed to? Why did you condense it to that particular data for this particular printout?
This spreadsheet was the data that our parsing tool was looking for amongst all the log files and extracting those out.
We talked about this a minute ago, but if you're trying to determine when this vehicle moved, you identified a key indicator. When a vehicle may have possibly moved, you identified a key indicator in that data that would indicate to you, in your opinion, that the vehicle could have possibly been moving, correct?
That's correct. In or out of park.
Okay. And when you produced that report, did you color code certain columns?
Yes. I hand colored the columns on here that indicated those for clarity.
And I think I meant to say rows because there are four.
They're rows, yes.
My apologies. And you color coded certain ones, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Prosecutor Conrad displays a document on the witness monitor for Mr. Falkowski.
Once we get the computer going, it'll give a better view, but for the moment, we'll look at the Elmo. Can you read that document on your screen, Mr. Falkowski?
I think I can read that.
Okay. So let's just start at the top. And I think you read the title, this 2021 Chevy Suburban Log Files, correct?
That's correct.
And then we see a row below that looks like descriptors, correct?
Correct.
All right, well, let's just start on the left. Let's explain what these mean. And we see on the far left, it says line and then a number symbol or hashtag. What does that mean?
Okay, I'm going to explain that using the next column over file name first. The file name indicates the particular log file that the data was recovered from. There was numbered log files in the system. And for this date, there were two different log files that contain this data, and the line number indicates the physical or the actual line number starting from one at the top that data was located on.
Okay, and then we see the date next to that. What is that again, specifically the date and time?
That is the timestamp of the actual log entry.
John Conrad references the document on a computer monitor as he continues his questioning. For the listener's context, the time of the murders is estimated to have been between 8:44 p.m. and 9:06 p.m. on June 7, 2021. The call made to 911 by Alex Murdoch was at 10:07 p.m. on that evening.
All right, so event type. What does event type mean?
Basically, the event type is a part of the log entry that describes what sort of event is going on. It describes the event.
Okay. Event description, what does that mean?
It's just a longer, more verbose version of the event type.
An event value, what does that mean?
That is the actual value of the event, rather than this is the event and this is what its value is.
Okay. When you say value, what do you mean by that?
It can be a 1, a 0, a true, a false, or a textual indicator of the system state.
All right. And you say 1 or 0, true or false. You mentioned a while ago that data is always binary, right?
Yes.
And binary is always 1 or 0, correct?
In case a lot of these are 1 and 0.
Okay. And that's how data is typically stored in computer systems,
typically,
correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So finally, on the far right, says raw line from service log file. What does that mean?
That is actual line from the file copied verbatim.
Okay. And so that's the actual data log that you pulled out of the system.
Correct? That is correct.
Okay. And it includes a timestamp as well, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So let's just look at the top here. And you said you added in some color coding, correct?
That's correct.
And the top line appears to be red. That's 8384, correct?
Yes.
And 8676 is also red, correct?
That's correct.
Right. Why did you color code those red? What is that?
Those were basically messages that were showing the system starting up. The computer for the infotainment system initiated a boot sequence.
All right. And did your testing identify a number of ways the system on this vehicle could start up?
We observed it starting up with several ways.
Okay.
I don't think we know all the ways it may start up.
Okay. Well, what are some of the ways you observed that it could start up?
Just things such as opening the door of the vehicle, mm-hmm, or getting in the vehicle, turning it on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And when we say system startup, we mean the infotainment center.
This is referring to the infotainment center, not the whole vehicle.
Okay. So it's not necessarily we're turning the vehicle on every time we see a red color in there.
Correct? That's correct. Just the infotainment system.
It could be someone just opening the door, correct?
Yep.
All right. And that represents, in some cases, where the screen in that car just kind of lights up if the door opens or for another reason, correct?
That would be an indicator, yes.
And are there certain occasions where the system could kind of start up on its own?
There's some unexplained times when the system seems to initiate a boot.
Okay.
For no apparent reason. It's theoretical on what the car is doing at that point.
Okay. All right. And then below that, at line 9142 and 9144, it looks like you color-coded those two lines as blue, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And why did you color-code those lines as blue?
Those indicated these vehicle parked message that we found to be very useful in determining potentially the car moving.
Okay. And this is something that you found in your testing analysis, correct?
That's correct.
That was reliable?
This is a reliable message.
All right. And reliably means what?
Reliably tells you whether the car was shifted into park or shifted out of park.
Okay. All right. And looks like lines 9142 and 9144 both occurred at 12:21:43 on June 7th of 2021. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And is that local time?
That is local time.
All right. And what does that mean? What does vehicle parked true mean?
Vehicle parked true means the shift lever of the vehicle was placed into the park position.
Okay. So the vehicle was shifted into park.
That's correct.
All right. But I see it looks like the exact same message on both lines, correct?
That's correct.
Why do we have the exact same message on both lines?
If you take a look, scroll to the right on the one that's showing the raw values, you'll see that the messages are not identical. They're from two pieces of the subsystem reporting the same event.
Okay. So this particular log and maybe some other ones get recorded in different places on this infotainment center.
There's a lot of duplication of messages.
Okay. And they don't, if they had the same timestamp, how would you interpret that if you see duplicate messages with the exact same timestamp?
I would typically consider that just a single event.
Okay. So let's look down below that, and I see multiple things happening, and I'm highlighting it, on lines 9148 to 9156 at 12:33 and 23 seconds. And I see a number of things happen there with the same timestamp, correct?
That's correct.
And in your analysis, in your opinion, when you see a group of messages happening at the same time, what's the best way to interpret that information?
You have to kind of take a look at them as an aggregate.
Okay. And so you kind of look at all these messages as a whole to interpret what they mean, correct?
That's correct.
Rather than each one individually.
That's correct.
Okay. So let's look at it. Looking at lines 9148 and all those lines that are timestamped identically, which goes down to line 9159, what does that group of messages, in your opinion, mean was happening on this vehicle at that time on June 7th of 2021?
It looked like the infotainment computer was beginning a power down sequence.
Okay. And we go down to 1242, and we see a few lines in 9167, 9459, and 9716. We see a few of those red color-coded lines, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And again, what does that mean? Why are those coded that way?
The infotainment system initiated a boot-up sequence starting up.
Okay. But any number of reasons of why that would have potentially booted up at that time?
Yeah, it could be a number of reasons.
Okay. All right. But then at 9954 and 9956, we see some blue color-coded messages, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And what do those mean? It says vehicle parked false. What does that mean?
Vehicle parked false means this car was shifted out of park.
Okay. And that's at what time?
18:23:57.
All right. Help us out. What's that in civilian time?
6:23:57.
P.M.?
P.M.
On what day?
On June 7th, 2021.
And again, we see two identical messages, correct?
Yes.
But you would interpret that as one event, correct?
Yes.
And what is that event again?
It's a vehicle taken out of park.
Okay. And we see a few things happen. Looks like 1853 and 1911, some of those red color-coded. What's your interpretation for lines 396 and 984 on June 7th there? What's going on in those lines?
It's another infotainment system boot-up, startup sequence.
Okay. And then we see another red event at 2103-44, correct?
Yes.
And what is that?
Another boot-up sequence.
Okay. And from any number of reasons, correct?
Correct.
Could be if someone just opened a car door, correct?
Yes.
And then we see a group of messages. Looks like a few at 2104-05 and then a few at 2104-18. Quite a few more at 2104-18. And that's 9:04 p.m., correct?
That is correct.
All right. And that group of messages at 9:04-18 p.m., what, in the aggregate, what is that telling you is going on with this vehicle at that time?
One moment.
I have the time side.
Yeah, at the 2104-18, those ones looked like the system was, but prior to that, it seemed to be shutting down, and then it stopped and started coming back up.
Okay. And so it seems to be starting up around 2104-18, correct?
Yes.
And that'd be consistent with that red-coded message we saw a second ago, correct?
Yes.
And it's also consistent with the red-coded message at line 1281 at 2105-56, correct?
What do you mean by consistent with that message?
I'm sorry. Take a look at line 1281. See that?
Yes, I see 1281. That's the next system startup message.
Okay. And what time is that again?
2105.56.
All right. And I'm going to do my best, and I'll try to stop you. Let's try to talk in local time.
Okay.
Civilian time, excuse me.
I'll start processing it.
And I make that mistake too. What time is that in civilian time?
That would be 9:05:56.
P.M.?
P.M.
On June 7th?
On June 7th.
Okay.
2021.
Okay.
And with that, we bring to a close this episode of Jury Duty, The Trial of Alex Murdaugh. Please join us on our next installment as we continue our review of the testimony of FBI electronics engineer Dwight Falkowski and conclude our look at day 11 of the trial. Also, check out the crime story podcast, Night Raid, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would like to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, head over to our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created and produced by yours truly, Carrie Antholis. It was co-produced, written, and edited by Chris Tarracone. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio. Trial audio is courtesy of Law & Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty.